Which then brings us to our sermon for today. Hope and expectation. And we'll make reference, maybe read Hebrews 11, 10 and Luke chapter 2. A few of the verses there, speaking of Simeon. Hopes and expectations. Now, Miranda already told us that she made some New Year's resolutions. How many of you made New Year's resolutions? All right. Well, and Laura over here. Now, whether you do New Year's resolutions or just through the course of the year you engage in doing things to for you to become more Christ-like, I think that we need to do that. Again, many of us don't make New Year's resolutions because we have made them over the year. And then what happens? We break them. And some of us never even get started. We made them and that's about as far as we got. So, but I want to encourage you to say, Lord, what are you wanting me to do? What's my part in what you want to do in my life in 2022? Nicky Gamble, who is the guy who came up with Alpha, the evangelism program, a really wonderful, wonderful fellow. He said, he posted this on his Instagram account. Look back and thank God. Look forward and trust God. Look around and serve God. Look up and seek God. Wouldn't that be a good prayer for us this year? Wouldn't that, maybe that becomes our resolution this year? I'm going to look back and thank God. I'm going to look forward and trust God. I'm going to look around and serve God. And I'm going to look up and seek God. That's not a bad way to start the year, is it? I think that each year is an opportunity to learn, to grow, and to develop. Again, it's not how many years you've been a Christian. It's how you have, you know, sought God, how you've gotten into His Word, how you have grown more like Him, how you have looked for ways to serve others on His name, in His name and on His behalf, and, you know, how you have been part of community and all of those things. That's what's really important. Maturity isn't longevity. They're not one and the same. But this year, like Lily said, it's 352 pages that are blank. And with God, I get to write the journey of my life. What are your hopes and expectations for 2022? Or are we just kind of coasting along? Well, you know, the year ended and we're in a new year. And, oh, well, you know, we'll just carry on as usual. You know, you don't want to get your hopes and expectations too high in case God disappoints you. Let's pray. Father, you are a God of expectations. You are a God of hope. Lord, you invite your people. You invite us. You invite the world to turn to you, to look up to you, to place our hope, our trust in you, and to ask of you great things in 2022. Lord, most of us are not asking for much. Maybe we're not asking for anything. But would you awaken in us, stir up in us a desire to have great expectations of our great God? I pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Here are some things that maybe you want to consider. What are your hopes or expectations, spiritually speaking, for you? And if up till now, second day of the year, you haven't really had any, this is a good time for you to start writing something down or put them in your phone on a little note and say, God, I don't have anything. What should I expect from spiritually? What about family-wise? I mean, just healthy, fun family. How do you want your family to be different at this time in a year from now than it is now? What about relationally or socially? What kind of a friend are you going to be? Are there some people you need to forgive? Do you need to forgive yourself? Do you need to take an honest look at yourself and say, you know what, I actually need some help? whether that's, you know, needing to see a therapist, maybe just picking up a couple of good resources on being emotionally healthy. Because if we're not emotionally healthy, you're not going to be spiritually healthy. Also, career and vocational. Do you have any hopes for that? Maybe it's just doing the same thing you have been doing, but with a different motivation. A friend of mine who worked for 42 years, I think, for Sherritt International in Fort Saskatchewan, just, I think, Friday was his last day of work. And I can tell you, knowing Randy, that Sherritt is going to have, no, they're not going to have a hard time finding someone to replace them, like that has the same work ethic, the same passion, all of those things. It's not going to be that they're going to have a hard time. They're not going to be able to find another one like Randy, because he was just a great worker. So I think that we need to ask ourselves, what do I want to do? Maybe the Lord will have you do a career switch. Whoa, that's scary. Or a change in your place of work. Well, what about intellectually? Are you growing? I know people, in fact, I went to school with some people that they had proudly mentioned that, you know, once they finished school, they put all their books away and never ever were going to look at their books again. That is sad. We can grow spiritually, but we can also grow intellectually. We can read a good book. There's lots of really great books that you can read. Maybe you want to follow somebody and read their blogs. Maybe it's, you know, watching a movie, but with a different way of looking at it and being more critical about it. What about physically? What are you going to do to become a better version of you? Maybe it's time to go for walks a little more frequently. Maybe, you know, you want to join us mountain biking, come the mountain biking season. Maybe you want to, when it's available, join a gym. Maybe you want to do some workouts at home. And what about like just our regular health? Are we taking care of ourselves? Kind of hard to talk about that when we're just coming out of the holidays and I've eaten all those butter cookies and shortbread cookies and all those things that you wonderful folks have given to us. But I can tell you, I have been disciplined enough. I have not eaten the chocolates, which is very easy for me because I don't really like chocolate. What about financially? Maybe 2022 is a year when you look at your finances a little different. Maybe you say, how can I invest more in God's kingdom? How can I be more generous? Who can I help? You know, no one's ever gone broke from being generous. You know, it's something really interesting that scripture says in Proverbs, that he who gives to the poor, that's what, you remember? Lends to who? To the Lord. To the Lord. You know, if you have discovered the blessing of being faithful in tithing and in giving above and beyond that, wonderful. Share that testimony with other folks. Maybe it's an opportunity, if you haven't gotten there, to trust God and say, you know, I'm actually going to start doing that or working my way towards doing that in this coming year. But there's so many ways in which we could ask for expectations. So let's look at first example we have is Abraham. Of course, we sing the song, Father Abraham had many sons. Well, there's a lot more to him than having many sons. Let me just have a drink here. So Hebrews 11, of course, you know, is the great chapter of faith, giving us a definition of what faith is. And it says in verse 1, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And then he goes on to give us a whole list of people who lived by faith. And so Abram is one of them, or Abraham as he eventually came to be called. Well, listen, let's start with verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. What a crazy character. I mean, who would go where they didn't know where they were going? By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. You see that? He had an expectation. He was hoping and hoping and trusting and trusting and walking and walking and obeying and obeying. And yes, sometimes he took some steps backwards, but then he would get going again in the same direction. Abraham lived by faith, expecting something that God had promised to him, even though he didn't see evidence of it for a very long time. I mean, the promise that they would have a child took 10 years. 10 years to become true. And then when they left, you can read it starting around Genesis verse 12 and onward for the next few chapters. It's the life of Abraham. And he goes only with this promise that there was a promised land that somewhere God was going to show to him. He left from a place called Ur of the Chaldeans. Now that's what they say, that, you know, Abraham's favorite song was, oh, how I love her. I don't want to leave her. If somebody sees Ur, tell her goodbye. He left. He left. And he didn't know where he was going. And he kept trusting God. I wonder how many times he traveled and he's like, God, is this it? God, is this it? No. God, we've been going for a long time. God, you know, the famous questions. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And somewhere along his travel, the scripture tells us that he came to understand that his greater hope, his greater expectation did not lie in finding the promised land, but in finding a home with God. This is why it says that he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. He realized that as good as the promised land was going to be, a land flowing with what? Milk and honey, a way of saying that he had plenty of everything, that that was not really what he was ultimately looking for. He was actually looking forward to finding himself at home with God. And he never gave up. Can you imagine that? That many years of waiting and waiting and waiting. Finally, 10 years later, you have a son. Then God asks you to sacrifice that son. That makes no sense. And then you wander and you live in tents and you're moving around and you never ever find that. You never arrive at that place. But what I really appreciated is that he never gave up. He never gave up. He never said, God, I must not have heard you well. Oh, God, you must have gotten your wires crossed. Or God, you are really mean. You promised something and it's never come to pass. That's it. I've had enough. I'm just like doing this on my own. But every time that he would take kind of step back, he would then say, okay, I guess I need to get back on track with God. He died. He died. Still with that sense of hope and expectation. But what I like is that he had hope and expectation. This is why it talks about here in verse 13. All these people that some of them have been mentioned, some are going to be mentioned, were still living by faith or according to faith or still trusting, still believing, still hoping, still having expectation. They were living that way when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them as from afar. Look at the second example. Simeon. Simeon is one of the individuals mentioned in the Christmas story. And I believe you find the story as well in Mark. But let's look at Luke chapter 2. Simeon. Is this old fellow. You know, the older I get, the more I look forward to being an older fellow. I think, you know, when I was in Bolivia last year, I kept hearing people referring to myself as Señor. Señor. And I'm like, I'm not a Señor. I'm not that old. I don't deserve to be called Sir. I'm way too young. But that's not true. That's just wishful thinking. So we again look at Simeon here, that is old man. Let me read the scripture. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him, that is Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of Moses. And because they were poor, all they could afford was a pair of doves or two young pigeons. That's what the poorest people in Israel, that's what they could do if they couldn't do anymore. So they didn't have anything. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Now, listen to this. Verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, that's a significant thing, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. There's also an older woman you can read in the beginning in verse 36 named Anna, who has a similar awareness that Jesus is going to be and is now here. So, but Simeon is an old man. Remember that as far as we know, and we call this the 400 years of silence, about 400 years where there has been no word from the Lord. Where it seems to have just been silence. And yet, at some point, Simeon, I don't know how old he was, it was revealed to him that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. And I wonder how many times Simeon was walking down the street and he saw some young couple carrying a baby and thought to himself, is this him? Is this him? Could this be him? Only to have no conviction, no confirmation in his spirit by the Holy Spirit that that was the Messiah. I wonder how many times he saw a child running and he thought to himself, oh, I think that's the Messiah. That's got to be him. Only to say, nope, no, that's not him. I wonder how many times at the temple, maybe at Saturday school and in the synagogue and the teaching for the children, maybe he taught children. And some he thought, wow, that kid knows all the answers. That kid is bright. Oh, that has got to be the Messiah. And again, only to hear, nope, not him. And then sometime when he is very old, moved by the Spirit. He's like, I'm going to the temple. I'm going to the temple. Don't know why. It's my day off. It's busy. I really need to do this, but I'm going. I just need to go. And he walks in there, and he's there minding his own business. And this young couple enter in, and the Spirit says, that's him. That's him. And Simeon goes into having these amazing words. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Do you realize how tempting it may have been for Simeon to give up? For Simeon to say, you know, I think I heard the Lord wrong. I think my hearing aid was acting up. I think I had too much chicken noodle soup. I think I was just tired. I think I just got up in some religious, you know, event and thought I heard God, but I think it was just my mind. But he did not. Folks, he did not give up. And one day he says, there he is. There he is. See, Anna did the same thing. Been a widow for a long time, and she basically stayed at the temple the whole time. Verse 38 says, coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. You see, many of us as Christians are content with just kind of like just living day to day. You know, we're content with, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And that's it. I wonder what God may have in store that he would love to give to us, to reveal to us places and things that he wants us to go to and things to do, people to bless. But we just don't expect that. An acquaintance of mine posted the other day, you know, I don't know, 13 years ago, I met my now husband for the first time. Never did I expect when I went that day that I was going to meet my future husband. I wonder how many of us go about our days never expecting that God might want to say something, that God may want to use us, that God may want to show us, that God might say, go and talk to that person, go pray for that person, stop here, go there, shop at that store instead of this one. I wonder how many times God is waiting and waiting and waiting, and we never bother ask. We never bother to stop and say, Lord, this day, what do you want to do? How can I serve you? Lord, I am available. Lord, I'm here. Use me. So three questions to ask ourselves. What do I want from me? What do I want from me? In our family, we have a tradition of every so often saying, okay, what were the highlights of your week and how did they make you feel about it? We haven't really gotten much into what do we want this year? I don't mean in a selfish way. I want to spend 6 months in an all-inclusive in the Bahamas. That might be nice, and you know, for some, that might be what God would have you do. But honestly, what do you want for yourself? If God came to you, of course, we see this in fairy tales, you know, that the fairy godmother says, you know, I'll grant you a wish, or the genie, or whoever. But we're talking about God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, who's saying, ask me. Ask me. Psalm 2. There's a question that's it's a messianic psalm, and God asking Jesus and saying, ask me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. And I wonder how many times God is saying, Gil, ask me, ask me, ask me. Gil, don't you want something from me? What do I want from me? What do I want from God? What do I want from God? What does God want from me? Many times we think that you know, we said yes to Jesus back, 1972 at an altar, and we gave our life to the Lord, and that's it. Friends, it's an everyday surrender. Jesus, I am here. Jesus, I want you. Jesus, please forgive me. God, I want to do your will. God, I want to know you. God, I want you to speak to me. God, I want to walk in your ways. God, I want to reflect you to the world. God, I want to do this for you. Ask yourself these questions. I dare you. I challenge you. Again, whether you're here in person, those of you online, ask yourself these questions this week and come up with some answer. What do I want from me? What do I want from God? What does God want from me? You see, I think that many times we don't bother asking because we don't think God cares. Other times I think we don't bother asking because we're afraid God might say something that we may not like. that God might say, you know, marry that person, and you're like, I don't like that person. Or God might say, move to that place, and you're like, I don't want to go to that place. Or God might say, give this to me, and you're like, no, that's like the most precious possession I have. Scott Sauls, in his blog for the end of the year, called Towards a Better You in 2022, writes this: as we consider things about ourselves that we hope will change in 2022, it is helpful for us to consider our readiness or lack thereof to invite into our lives things that Scripture says will lead us towards the direction of change. Many times we want to change, but we don't really do much more than want to change. Again, I'll use my biking as an example. I love mountain biking. And when I want to go mountain biking, I'm thinking, okay, tomorrow it looks like the weather is going to be nice. I'm going to go mountain biking. And I start making plans. I invite my friends. I come up with where we're going to meet, how long we're going to ride, which trails we're going to ride. And then, you know, that next day, we actually go and do it. I could spend the whole biking season saying, it'll be nice to go mountain bike. It'll be nice to go mountain bike, but make no plans. You see, and many times when it comes to our spiritual lives and what we hope and expect from God, we spend our lives not hoping or expecting, just like, I hope he does something, but never put ourselves in the place to hear him, to obey him, to see what he wants us to see. I finish with another quote from Nikki Gumbel. Again, see, he posted this. As he looks to 2022, fear less, trust more. Take less, give more. Whine less, think more. Talk less, listen more. Hate less, love more. If you have nowhere else to start, if you haven't given any thought, start here. Start here. Make this your prayer. Say this to the Lord every morning, every moment that you remember. Nick Karras was sharing with us yesterday that she had set us a target to read 30 books in 2021. And I don't think those included your actual textbooks for university, just additional reading. She read 33. And you might say, wow, that's amazing. And it is amazing. The reality is that most of us have never actually set any goals. Not just when it comes to books. For most of our life, we're just like going along with the flow. And God is saying, ask me. Ask me. Ask me. Ask me. And so I ask you. Ask. Father, help us not to be people that have no hope and no expectation from you. That we're not desiring something new, something greater, something more powerful, something more life-impacting from you. Forgive us that we have kind of just settled into the motions of every day. So help us. Create in us a hunger to expect more from you, to hope for more from you. And Lord, this week as we ask ourselves these questions, what do I want for me in 2022? What do I want from God in 2022? What does God want from me in 2022? Help us to listen and to put steps into practice to lead us in this direction, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.